Welcome to Church of Living Word, featuring Senior Pastor Audie Claremont.
You know me, I can't sit very long. All of a sudden, I'm up running around like a kid. But today, I might be going a little more sitting. Hi. I know, you're just staring at this beard. This is, yeah. Oh, my. Oh, we thank you, Father. Amen. We thank the Lord. You know, I've been doing a series on identifying with Christ, and I kind of want to continue just a little bit from a different side of it. But I want to say this. We're living in a time that God is purifying the church. I've said this over and over. Purification sometimes not easy. Sometimes it can be very painful, but it's a good thing if we allow the Holy Spirit to do what He needs to do in our lives. I'm going to share some things today. Some might shock you, but I'm going to say them anyway, because I'd rather have you in heaven than not. But I want to talk about breaking those things in your life that the enemy has tried to just keep a hold in your life. And when we truly understand who we really are in God, listen, it took me years to know who I was. When you've been raised in a different religion, when you've been raised under a different mindset, that's why the Bible says that we have to renew our minds to the Word of God, because the world is stinking thinking. We come out of stinking thinking is exactly where we came. And there's some things that hold us in bondage, and there's some things that will give you freedom. But God made you to be something different. We're different. Turn to somebody and say, you're different. No, I mean this in a good way. I mean this in a good way. Loopy's going, yeah, you're different. My wife would go, you're really different. But I mean in a good way. We're different because we belong to God. Amen? We belong to Him. And so when we look at things, we see ourselves as not of the world. We're, like I said last week, week before, we are pilgrims passing through. So let's look at this. And you'll notice your notes, aren't you shocked? There is no writing. So, because I just want you just to see my beautiful face and just look at me and say, let's see what he has to say. I could have put a lot in there, but I looked and I said, what did I do? There's no writing. But anyway, let's get started in this. But God made you to be something different. Listen, most people don't know why they're here. They don't even know where they're going, let alone who they are in God. How many know what I'm talking about? You know friends, they have no clue in the world what's going on. Or they have no clue in the world the life they're in. And it's that same old cycle over and over and over, and it never stops. And they don't know what to do. So they end up identifying with different things that are not even related to biblical truth. And we identify. It took me a long time to understand my identity in God. My wife was telling me this morning, reminding me how long, even when we went into our marriage, she said, I knew the time that you begin to understand who you were in God. That God loved me. He wasn't mad at me, and He hadn't given up on me. And when I realized how much God loved me, now listen, I was a preacher. I was still ministering. I was still doing ministry all over, and I still never understood who I truly was until I got that revelation from God. See, when you're raised under parents that, how do I say this? They love you, but they don't understand how what love really is because of the way they were raised by their parents. And so it's handed down to, and they don't know how to treat you. Because some of them weren't godly. My parents weren't godly people. Now, they died in God, but they didn't know how to treat us. Some of our parents told us, you'll never amount to nothing, you're a screw up, and it was always the negative side. And so we took that identity into our lives, and we lived that out. Well, if I'm going to be a worthless piece of garbage, then I might as well live like one. And we acted it out. And so there were so many different things that we didn't understand what God had done for us. They see themselves as hopeless, helpless, and a failure. They see themselves with a past and all these bombarding thoughts of worthlessness, guilt, and shame, and pity. They don't know how to live life every day on a victorious level, regardless what's happened or what's happening in their life. They don't know. They don't understand. When Ken and I went to do Caleb's wedding, by the way, the girl he married, what a dream. What a beautiful lady. And she called me dad right away, and I said, yes, yes. But here was the thing. We stayed at the home of Caleb's wife's mother, and she had just remarried to a great man, on fire Christians. They love God. And an awesome guy. We had a lot of good times talking and just sitting out by the fire and just talking about things of the Lord. And I shared my heart with him, and he shared what he went through in his marriage and what she had gone through in her marriage. But what we were seeing was this. When we were talking, the scenario behind this whole thing is this. Caleb's new wife now, Mikkel, Kelly, grew up in a family that her dad was not very affectionate. You know, she would go to him and say, well, dad, I'm your favorite daughter, ain't I? And he would kind of put his head down and not say anything. For 20-some years, 23, 25 years, he had another family in California with kids, with another woman. They didn't know it. The only way they found out is when he came home, had a heart attack and died. And the phone rang and it was the other kids. Is dad there? The wife never knew it. The wife knew that years ago he had cheated on her, blah, blah, blah. Went down that road and he said he had stopped. But he had kids in their 20s, girls. And when Mikkel had found this out, her heart was just broken, just broken. So she never really had a relationship in that. So we were talking at the table, and we were talking about forgiveness. How hard would it be to forgive and to release that? And I remember sitting down so many times with Mikkel when she came out here, and we'd get up in the morning, and I'd say, Mikkel, I know it's hard, but you have to forgive your daddy. You got to let him go and forgive him and release him from owning you. That's what forgiveness does. It's not for the other person. It's for you. To release you from them. And all of a sudden, and she said, I will. I said, remember, forgiveness is not based just on feelings, because our emotions and the pain and all the things we go through is basically what we got to deal with. But I said, you still have to forgive and release and let that person go. All of us do. It's hard. I never said it was easy. There's people that I'd rather be mad at and knock them down and just beat them up. Don't look at me like that. But that's not the Christian way. Have we ever felt like that? Sometime in our life we may have. I have. To get even. But it's not God's way. So as I was talking to the mother and I was talking at the table, we were talking about forgiveness. And I could just see in her eyes the hurt and the pain. But thank God that she married a man that just loved her to pieces, totally the opposite of night and day, just loved her and kept telling her when we were there how much he loved her and how much he appreciated her. And we don't say it enough because we take those things for granted and don't understand that this is who God is. And people, regardless of what's happening or what's happening, they are not living their lives the way God wanted them to live. See, before the cross, let's look at Ephesians 4:17. We were hopelessly confused. Our minds were full of darkness. We were far away from the life of God because we had shut our minds and hardened our hearts against him. We didn't care anymore about right and wrong. We had given ourselves over to immoral ways. Our lives were filled with all kinds of impurity and greed. Doesn't that sound like what we were before? Yeah. That's just the way we lived. The passion said, you should not live like the unbelievers. And he's speaking to Christians. Don't live like that. That's not who you are. You're something different. And he said that don't live like the unbelievers around you who walk in their empty delusions or their opinions. Their corrupted logic has been clouded because their hearts are so far from God. Their blinded understanding and deep-seated moral darkness keeps them from true knowledge of God. And we know people that the God has blinded the hearts and minds of people so they don't believe in God. That's why when we pray that people's minds would be loose from the darkness. We loose the God of this world from their hearts and minds, Lord, that they see the glorious gospel shine into their hearts. That's how we have to pray. When you're praying for a friend, that's what you pray. You say, Lord, we loose that darkness off of their minds. We bind up the devil. We loose him from their minds because their minds are dark and you can talk to them about God all day and they just stare at you. Why? Because their minds have never been broken from that bondage or understanding. They don't understand. So when we begin to do that and we pray that God's glorious light would shine in to their hearts, then all of a sudden, I hate to say this, but the light comes on. And all of a sudden they start to realize that they're hearing what you're saying. And it says their blind understanding, deep-seated moral darkness keeps them from the true knowledge of God. Because of spiritual apathy, they cut themselves off from their only true hope, and that's Jesus. For they surrender their lives to lewdness, impurity, and sexual obsession. So listen, we confess to be a Christian. We have accepted the gift of salvation. However, some people only trust in Christ enough for fire insurance. They have enough salvation to keep them out of hell, but they don't have enough hell to stay out of them. Does that make sense? So how many of us have struggled through our lives in Christianity? Now listen, I want to say this. Sanctification is a process. We know that. I mean, I needed a lot of cleaning in my life, and it was the sanctification. That is our walk with God. Our position with God is that we're as clean as we could ever get because of the blood of Jesus. You can't get any better than that. You have Jesus' righteousness. But as a walk and walking out who we are in God, that's the sanctification process and consecrating ourselves to the Lord. And so that can become a process even when we're born again. And we can struggle through our lives as our Christian lives. But what would bring peace to our minds? What would put at rest the noise of guilt and shame and hurt and pain? Sometimes when we've even walked away from God or we've did our own things and we come back and the enemy just beats us to pieces, that we're nothing but losers. And that is not how God sees us under the blood of Jesus, under the repentance that we've done in our hearts through the Lord. That's not who we are. And so the enemy will bring this. Sometimes Christians keep struggling with the same things in their life. They never get victory over these things. Although we've made some decisions that created what appeared to be a hopeless situation, God in his love doesn't abandon us. He doesn't leave us in that hopeless condition. Times and we've struggled with our faith. We've struggled as Christians. We struggled. And we went back to God and we said, God, I'm so sorry. I screwed up. I messed up. And God is always there to take us because of our repentant heart. See, a repentant heart, God will not turn away. But it's the heart that refuses to repent, because where there's no repentance, there's no forgiveness of sin. And so when we humble ourselves and we go to God and say, Lord, I've done this and I repent of this, it's the blood of Jesus that restores us, always restores us back to who we are. Does that make sense? And yet we are in God's eyes, because of Jesus and because of the blood, we are whole because of that. When I got saved and I gave my life back, and I shared this a couple of weeks ago, that I gave my life back to the Lord when I was 18. Now, I had heard the gospel when I was a sophomore in high school through Dave Wilkerson Crusade. And my goal was to go to Bible college. I was going to go right to Bible college. My dad had basically rejected me. I left the home and stayed with a friend that basically was kind of booted out, because I wouldn't do what he wanted me to do as far as being a doctor, do this, be all this money. It was always about money. But God had called me to preach and told me to go to this Bible college. And so I started going to the Bible college. And man, I was excited, and I thought, you know, golly, that old life is gone, the new life has come, and all of a sudden the enemy got in there. And so I would go home in the weekends, and you know what, people? I went home in the weekends and I fell. I went out and I got drunk with the rest of my friends, and I fell. And I felt like a total garbage, and I'd go back to school and I would just cry to the Lord. Why am I struggling? Why am I like this? And I think I'd get victory, you know, and I'd go to the altar and I'd repent and I'd be on my knees, and the next weekend I'd go home and I'd do the same thing. And I'd cry and I'd bawl and I'd squall again, and I'd go back to Bible college. And then I had a girlfriend. It wasn't Ken. It was another girlfriend I was supposed to be married to. We were pre-engaged. And I'd go home and I'd fornicate with her. And I'd cry, and I'd go back to school and repent to God that I went home and I had sex with this girl. And I did that about 2 or 3 times, and finally I said, if I don't make a decision to do something here, I'm going to be in a world of hurt. So I broke the news to her that I was breaking the relationship off, and I was no longer going to be in that relationship. I shattered her life and broke her heart. But I was looking at eternity. She was thinking of the now. Through the years we've talked, we've met, we're good friends. But people, if I would have never made that decision, I would have never got free. God wasn't going to come down and say, now, son. No, I had to make the decision to make a choice. And I never dated anybody for 9 months. That I went to school. I sold out to God, gave everything to God, through the thick, through the pain, through the sorrow, through the hurt. God was peeling the layers off of my life, trying to tell me how much he loved me when I felt no love at all. And I'm going to Bible college to be a preacher? Oh my golly. But see, God has a way of peeling back the layers, no matter how painful it is, to get the glory, to get the salve of the Holy Spirit, and to get the balm of Gilead and the wine poured in those wounds, so there's healing in our life. I grew in the Lord those 9 months. Did I have opportunity to? Yeah, I had opportunity to date and do. I said, nope, staying with the crowd. We're going to go roller skate. We're going to have fun. We're going to do things together, but I ain't dating anybody. And the Lord brought about Candy into my life because I prayed. I said, Lord, you bring the person in my life. I'm not going to try to make it happen. But when I share those things with you, I know what it's like to struggle with things in our life as a Christian. I know what it's like to beat ourselves up and to feel like we're worthless and we're no good.
But I do also know that when I begin to identify with God. And so when Candy and I got married, I carried some of the same things in it. I struggled with alcohol again. I fell a few times, went back into alcohol, went back, and I went into the bars. Candy would stay home and pray for me, and I'd just say, I'm going to the bar. And I did it. You guys are looking at me like, boy, this bastard's always had it perfect. Oh, I struggled with those things, just like other people have struggled in their life. But when I begin to realize who I was in God, those things broke. I don't have a desire for any of that stuff. It doesn't even appeal to me because I have the victory over that. Don't let me say that the enemy can't get in there and you can't get weak and you can't give in. What I'm saying is that God showed up and finally I realized that God loved me and I was identifying with what he did on the cross. And I want to share some of this with you, what God did. What God did in our lives. So we know something took place at the cross, people, that we've got to hold close to us. If you want to live life on the highest level where peace rules in your life, your heart and joy overflows, you've got to embrace this. It's what I call the great substitute or the great exchange of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And you don't have this in your notes, but Romans 6 says, for we know that our old self, my old self would always creep up its ugly head. And you know something? My old self was already dead in Christ. And then it says that I was crucified with him in order that sins... It was crucified him in order that the sins, the dominion over our body may be abolished so that we may no longer be a slave to sin. See, I didn't realize that I wasn't a slave to sin anymore. I just identified with what I grew up with. And as I kept that identity, I kept struggling with that identity. But when I started to identify what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, those things started meaning less to me and breaking off my life. See, we identify with so many different things. We identify with what people tell us or what we should be or shouldn't be instead of identifying with the Word of God of who we are in Him. And so that's why I struggled, people. I identified with all the things of the past and I couldn't identify with what Jesus did for me. I didn't realize. At the cross, God and Jesus Christ took our sin and made us totally sinless. He took the penalty due to us so that we could be free. That's what God did. He took upon himself our feelings of guilt and shame so that we could take his empowerment in our life as if sin never existed. He took our hopelessness, people, so that we could have new hope for a better tomorrow. He took our darkness of our depression so that we could receive the light of his love. The Father knew there was nothing we could do to deliver ourselves from the darkened state. So he did it for us through his Son, the great exchange. We will, as God's people, receive what he did and start identifying with that? Or do we continue in a life dominated by the voice of guilt and shame and unworthiness? That's not where God wants you. Because when I was struggling at Bible college and I was doing these things, I would have the devil just beat me and condemn me and say, you're not a Christian. You might as well go back to your old life. You're never going to get victory. And he put all this shame and guilt in my life and make me feel like that I was worthless. Who was I going to identify with at that point? Was I going to identify with that? Or was I going to identify what Jesus did for me by setting me free from the power of sin, and that sin had no right to reign in my body anymore, but as I yielded to him my instruments of unto righteousness, that would keep setting me free unto him. And that's the choice that I had to make. No, I had to finally shut him down and say, no, devil, that's not who I am. And that's what Candy was telling me. She said, honey, when you understood who you were, 17 years of my marriage, I didn't know who I was in God, and I struggled all the way through my 17 years of marriage. But revelation came. Thank God for preachers that will preach revelation. Preach the word of God and you'll get a revelation. And I thought to myself, why am I living under what I don't have to live? Why am I living defeated? I was hiding from my kids, my drinking. I was hiding when I was smoking. Outside I'd be smoking and all this stuff. That's not who I was. That's what God delivered me from. I remember when I was struggling in Louisville, Kentucky, in a church. I remember one time I fell and I was so depressed, so discouraged of pastoring this church, trying to get it off the ground, struggling with everything. The enemy was throwing everything he could at my life. It was the worst time of my marriage, time of my life that I ever went through in those years. And I remember one night I told Candy, I said, I'm just done. I'm done. I'm going. I'm just going to go to a bar and just sit and drink. And I remember standing at the door. Bless her heart. I love that woman. Standing at the door. And she said, you ain't going nowhere. You're staying here. And I said, get out of my way, woman. I'm going. Well, I won that night. And I went. And I come in. The next morning I woke up and she was sitting on the edge of the bed with a glass of water and a lot of pills for my headache. Never said a word to me. She just loved me. And I remember those days, people struggling, and I remember going to my elders at the church and I said this, my deacon. And I said, I'm resigning the church. And they said, why? And I said, I lied to you. I told you I was sick, and I was sick. I was sicker than a dog, and I deserved every bit of it. Hungover, sick. And I told them the story, what I was struggling with, and they just put their hands on me and just loved me. They said, we love you no matter what, because that's not who you are. I just cried. And God began to work in my life. As I began to just turn those things over to Him and begin to identify what He did in my life. And I began to realize, people, who God was. Will we accept Jesus as our substitute, the great exchange, and live a life enriched? These are things. Or will we continue living a second-rate life? And that's what I was doing. People have turned to things like drugs and alcohol, pornography, food and prescriptions, relationships outside of marriage to numb the pain and to silence the noise in their head. And we've done this. People are doing this. We should have learned by now that this will not bring true freedom, and I knew that. And peace we so desperately were seeking. And there was only one thing that would produce life and victory and freedom, and that's our identity with Jesus. That was the only thing, is our identity. When we allow all that Christ did for us at the cross, it becomes a reality in your life. It sets you free when you understand that it was done, finished, it's over. And the devil sits there and lies to you and say, it's never finished until I say it is. But it was finished. It was over. When you recognize, you and I recognize the great exchange He provided for us, you'll be liberated into a brand new life of better choices, of hope, of assurance, and knowing who you are and why you're here and where you're going. That's what God does. God has already provided what we need to silence the noise and release the new sound of restoration, hope, and life in our lives. When we embrace God's substitution, Jesus, and make the choice to apply God's way of living, our lives are totally restored. And that's what it took into my life. Listen, people, I've never been more free in my life. I have none of that stuff that even taints me. I want nothing to do with it. Why? Because that was an area that I finally broke through in my life. I finally got victory. My father was an alcoholic. My mother was an alcoholic. I grew up at home. But that doesn't give me the choice to be like that. That isn't my excuse to say that's okay. My choice was, what are you going to do about it? What decision are you going to do to make it right? And that was the choice that I had to make. See, God has a perfect plan for all of us, but it's up to us to follow that plan. It's up to you and I to receive the true identity of who we are in Jesus. Does it all happen overnight? It didn't for me. No, it doesn't. Yet it can start overnight if I make the choice. How? A decision has to be made. It takes a series of decisions. Like when I gave my life back to the Lord, I said, if I don't give my life to Jesus, I'm going to die and go to hell. And I made the decision to give my life to the Lord in my senior year, when I already knew him in my sophomore year and turned my back on him and left him. And then you got a doctor now that says, yeah, you never really left him. No, I turned my back. I loved him, but I turned my back on him and went my own way, just like Israel kept doing to God. But I never forgot that God's love just kept me and kept working in my life and kept loving on me no matter what. God kept loving on me. We have to make some decisions. What kind of decisions? First, we have to turn off the world and turn the Word on in our life. You got to get into the Word of God to know who you are. If you're not reading and getting into the Word and studying, you're not finding out who you are in God and who God is in you. That's one of the greatest love letters on the earth, is that Bible. And when we read that, not only is it a source of information and knowledge, but it's a source of freedom and liberty in the Word of God. It's like milk to your spirit. By the washing of the Word, it washes and it cleanses as we read and we keep reading and allowing that Word to flow through our life. We have to stop allowing the secular news and media, worldly magazines, people on the job, and other people shape our thoughts and tell you who you are. The television will definitely tell you who you're not. Amen? And how things are and how we should live. You know, I'm going to tell you how to live. No, you're not. God's telling me how to live. Most of what the world reports is a lie anyway. If we sit and we feed ourselves on negativity, our mind will cry fear, crisis, and worry all the time. I have no clue what's going on in the news because I don't watch it. Bad enough people tell me anyway. I find out. And it's been great. Because when I used to watch the news, I used to get so mad. And I'd get depressed, and I said, enough of this garbage. Our actions will follow our thoughts, people, producing an environment of lies, negativity, and crisis and worry. That's exactly what happens. You have to make a choice to put an end to this. We have to stop allowing others, what others did, having an effect on our joy and peace of mind. Let it go. When we hear of others falling into sin, instead of allowing the voice of offense or bitterness or gossip to scream at us, we silence those voices by praying for them, loving them, and seeking to restore them. That's what God did. I thank God that when other people kicked me to the curb as a Christian, God didn't. There was people that loved me no matter how I was at my worst. And a pastor friend was like that. Pastor Randy Elsing, who passed away, went to be with the Lord. I would go to Randy and I just pour my heart, my guts out to him and just lay it on the table. And he'd look at me and say, well, let's pray. He never beat me up. He never condemned me. He just loved me unconditionally and said, we're going to get through this. We're going to pray you through this. We're going to get through this. And it's neat having people like that will love you and not beat you down. but you still have to do something about it. I still had to do something about it. He couldn't do it. See, you got to stop hanging around with the old crowd that will lead you into things of bondage and surround yourself with people who think the word, who speak the word, live in victory every day, not just occasionally. It's truly rewarding to choose life. It's time for us to choose. It's time for us to make some decisions. It's time for us to get honest with ourselves. I had to get honest with myself and say, quit making excuses and lying to yourself that everything's okay when it wasn't okay. I was getting more into bondage, more and more, and falling and getting into alcohol and trying to get out of it. But when I finally went to God and I said, God, I'm nothing but a drunk and you got to do something about it, that's when God came in. Oh, he just let me do it because I'm going to do it on my own anyway. I'm just going to justify it and tell me it's okay, you know, a little fall here, a little fall there. And, you know, we began to justify it. And finally, when I went to God and I got on my knees, I humbled myself, I said, Lord, I can't quit this. I can't quit drinking. I need your help. I can't quit this. I can't quit that. I need your help. And when I finally humbled myself, God showed up and said, now I can do something. Now I can do something. Because you're out of the way and I'm coming in. Because you're finally casting the care on me because I care enough for you. And all of a sudden when I did that, God came in and things started happening. What has been shouting at you? Have thoughts like God has let me down been screaming at you? If so, it's time for you to shut it down. Shut it down. God is not your problem. He's your solution. God, I always thought God was my problem. Well, Lord, if you would have done this, I wouldn't be in this situation. I'm sure God just looked at me and said, oh boy. Have you justified your sin and failures by comparing yourself to other people? Shut it down. Stop making excuses. I had to stop making excuses. Start seeing yourself living a life on a higher level. That's what God has said to do. A lot of people feel like they need to take something to silence the day's stress. Well, you don't understand. I've got to take this because I'm struggling. Oh, give me a break. As long as you keep doing that, saying that, and reminding yourself and lying to yourself and justifying, you'll stand on it for the rest of your life. And I know what I'm talking about. And so do you. Amen? We have every excuse in the world why we can't when God says you have every reason in the world why you can. You can do this. We need to make a decision to get our mind off of the things of the world and look to God for our peace and rest. Have we allowed circumstances and the world system to dictate how we feel? Instead of life circumstances ruling over us, it's time for us to rule in life over the circumstances. Because we rule and reign with Christ. That's who you are in this place right now. Instead of giving other people control of our emotions, oh my golly. It's time for us to take control of our emotions and live by faith. People always tell you who you're not and remind you what you did. I had a stepmother like that. She reminded me everything I did. She said, you call yourself a preacher? She'd do that to me all the time. Just make me angry. Then I just wanted to spout off and say, well, let me tell you who you are. And the Lord said, don't you dare. Keep it shut. I said, well, Lord, she does it to me. Why can't I tell her off? Nope, you got to love her. Well, I don't want to love her right now. I just want to tell her off. Nope. And she would make things so painful in my life, she would hurt me with words, and I had to grin and bear it. And I said, God, that's not fair. He said it wasn't fair to my son either. I just put my head down and said, Lord, you're right. They did worse to Jesus for standing in faith. And I finally said to her, I said, you know what, Evie, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I mess up. But I have God to help me. I have God to help me. You know, later on, years in life, I used to stay away from her, I'd never call her, never talk to her, and I just as much as I could, and I'd go to Candy, and I'd say, Candy, honey, I better call her, man. She probably wrote me off already, but I remember before she passed away, she would say, even till the day she died, close to that, she would still tell me things. Well, I don't know who you are anymore. I'm mad at you. I said, what are you mad at me about? Because you don't call me like you used to. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't call you. I said, you had a phone too. But I'm still mad at you. This is at a wedding. And I just said, you know what you need? You need some loving. And I put my arms and I said, and I just started loving. And she broke down and started laughing. But she owned me emotionally for years. My father owned me emotionally, but they didn't own me anymore. I owned them. I owed them to love them and to just hug on them and to tell them how much I love, just smother them with love. And that's how you do it. Why? Because I was free. I was free from them. I had forgiven them. I had released them. I had released the pain and let it go. And I was free from that in my life. It's time for us to walk and live in and operate in the great exchange. What does it mean, people, to operate in the greatest change? I want to close with this. If the devil has been yelling, you're not worthy, you are like a sinner, a little sinner. Okay, let's little sinner. Not fit for anything. You're a failure. Shut it down. Thoughts like these are straight from the enemy. Exchange them, people. Shut them down. This is the great exchange. It's not who you are, it's who or what you used to be. It's who you are in him. Exchange them. Shut them down by boldly proclaiming, because of the great exchange that took place in my life, listen to this. Now we are as righteous as Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror. God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. Can you get it? Identify with that. And the more you identify it, the more you want to stay out of sin. The more you fall in love with Jesus, the more that other stuff doesn't mean anything to you. Romans 6 said, consider yourselves dead to sin. Consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its desire. He's telling you not to let it happen. He already did it 2,000 years ago on the cross, but he's telling you to do something about it. You stop it. You stop, Audie Claremont, being a fornicator, being a drunk, being all these things. You stop it. I have my power to give you all the grace, all the anointing you need of who you are in God. Use it. And quit making excuses and justifying it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I will. God, I'm better than this. I'm more than this. Yeah, you are, because I made you better. And I finally got a revelation of it and realized that God did all this for me. I remember one day I told the devil, I don't have to live like this anymore. Don't misunderstand me, people. I'm saying this. If you smoke, I'm not condemning you. But I struggled later on. And I told the devil, I said, I don't need this anymore. And I threw my cigarettes away, and I have never had a cigarette since. And that was over 30 some years ago. My wife would know. Don't tell them, honey. Long time. And I'm not condemning you if you smoke, but I'm saying the victory's already yours. I'd rather have you around a longer time. You know, I'd rather have you around. But I knew that they had me, and I said, no, devil, I'm done. And it was the weirdest thing. I never had any desire for him from that day. In 1 second, it was gone. And I started laughing. I said, I'm free. Why? Because I started identifying what Jesus did for me instead of identifying of all the lies that you're not going to be free, you're not going to get victory, you're going to keep doing this, you're going to keep identifying to this. This is who you are. No, this is not who I am. This is who I used to be. And God has set me free. Oh, it's changing people. Now we are the righteousness of Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror. God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. If hell has screamed thoughts of guilt and shame because of your past failures, shut it up by saying, I'm a new creation in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Amen. Tell the devil that. When you fall and you mess up, you get up, brush yourself off, and the devil will remind you what you did. Remind him and say, oh, by the way, that's who I used to be. That's not who I am anymore. If hell is screaming, smoke this, drink this, take this to relieve stress in your life and produce peace, shut it down by saying, Jesus is my Prince of Peace. As I get my mind off the things of the world and focus on him, he will keep me in perfect peace. Amen? That's who God is. Stand strong, people, in the great exchange that took place at the cross. Start identifying what God's word says instead of identifying what people are telling you. But you've got to make some decisions. You've got to do it. God won't do it for you. Listen, he didn't do it for me. He's not going to do it for you. What are you going to do about it? Well, Lord, I want you to just do a miracle. Take it away. Uh-uh. Amen. Isn't that true? No, you're going to walk it out, and you're going to trust me as you walk forward in victory of who I am. Well, I don't want to do that. Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and all that stuff. Just zap it right there. Take it out of me. I got victory. Worst mistake ever made was going back to the machine, putting the money in there and pulling it and getting a pack of cools. It only took one puff. I went there and the devil says, you got victory over that. Go, man, go get a pack and just take a little puff on it. It ain't going to hurt you. I did. I took a puff off of it. And I started smoking again. My kids never knew this. See, I was a secret smoker. You guys are laughing. I was sitting outside one time, and Candy was sitting next to me, and she's talking away. She had no idea. So I just lit up a cigarette, and I had it in my mouth. She looked at me and goes, what are you doing? Having a cigarette. She just shook her head. Oh, my golly, the things that we do. But aren't you glad for Jesus? Aren't you glad for the mercy and the grace of God that sees us through? Amen? Now, I hope you guys still love me because I shared some stuff with you. Don't judge me because I'm free. Oh, Pastor, you did that? Yeah, I did. I went to the bar. I got drunk. My wife was waiting there with a glass of water and pills. Not saying a word. I bet you inside, Candy's back there. Bet you inside, honey, you say, you deserve every bit of it. That's love. That's love. When they hand you a glass of water and aspirin for your hangover, that's love, and they don't say words. Say, you did it to yourself. You'll get through this. She loved me through it. Amen, honey. Been through a lot. I could write a book. I had to wait till my parents and them were gone before I wrote a book. Because what I was going to say in the book, I haven't written it yet. But listen, people. Stand strong. Stand strong. He became sin for us so that we could be free. He became sick so that we could be healed. He became poor so that we could be rich. Cast down that sin consciousness that the devil keeps telling you you are. Embrace who you are now in Christ. As you do, the noise in the channel is silence, and it shuts the mouth of the devil. Amen? That's who you are in God. You have the victory. You have to make some choices. You're going to have to make some choices and decisions. But as you do, God will see you through. He will see you through. Now, I know this wasn't for anybody in here. It just was for me. It was my day to beat on me and to hear my stories. But I want you free, no matter what it is, and to stay free, never allowing the enemy to bind you up again. Amen? That's the victory we have in God, the cross. Take it to the cross. Martin says all the time, take it to the cross, take it to the cross. See, that's where it all happened. We take it to the cross, and we walk in the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Keith, you have another song. Let's pray, people. I want you to think about what God has done for you and to begin to identify with Him. Can I say something? Do I have ever had thoughts through the 22 years that I've been here to do some of those things? Yeah. But I just cast them out. See, the enemy wants to bring familiarity of your old life. Some people, it has nothing to do with alcohol. It wouldn't bother you. Other things would. There's times that I said, oh, golly, sometimes I just want to just get hammered. And then I'd say, no, Lord, that's not who I am. I love you too much. The enemy will throw thoughts in our heads and try to distract you and get you to do stupid things. Why? Because he's stupid. He's stupid. But we just don't give in. You know why? Because God is more than enough. He's more than enough. He's more than enough. Keith, God bless you.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. Nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you. Lord, bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you. Closer than I've ever been, Lord. And never let me go. May making a prayer this morning, just crying out. I lay it all out again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. Will do. Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to
closer than ever, Lord.
Cause you're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. Cause you're all I want. Help me know you are near. You're all I want,
Jesus.
Cause you're all I've ever needed. Cause you're all that I want,
Jesus.
Help me know you are near.
You know what, Keith? Every song you chose today had to do with the cross and relationship. You never knew. Every song had to do with the cross. But you know what? I was thinking when we were worshiping the Lord, King David was a man after God's heart. I mean, he killed, he murdered, he committed adultery, he did everything he could do. He's a lousy father. He just messed up. But God spoke more about King David than anybody else. And when you read the book of Kings, it says that it acted like David never did anything wrong. Why? That was before. This is now. That's what forgiveness does. The past is gone. It's the old life. The new has come. And when we can identify with that, he was a man after God's heart. He knew how to get to the heart of God through worship, through praise, and repentance. Now, David made excuses. Yeah, when he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he never repented for a whole year till the prophet Nathan came to him and told him a story, and he repented. But the consequences to what he did, he suffered for. Just like any of us, when we make wrong decision choices, we suffer for the consequences. But isn't it nice to know that God doesn't hold it against you? He's there to bring you through and to make you stronger on the other side. That's the God we serve. The God of forgiveness, the God of mercy, the God of compassion, the God of grace, the God of our healing. Father, this morning we thank you for everything that Jesus did at the cross for us. Lord, we choose not to identify with the old life. We choose not to make excuses or justify what we're doing. But we choose to make the choices to serve you, to honor you, and to be obedient to your word. Lord, I ask your blessing on each and every person in this place today. Be with them, strengthen them, give them the victory, Lord, of those things they're dealing with. Lord, give them the power to make the right decision and choices to say, no, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. As for me and my life, I'm going a different direction. As for me and my life, I'm going to make it right. It's never too late to do the right thing. Never too late. But it's always too late when we're gone. Father, right now we thank you for your precious blood. We thank you for your sacrifice, for sending Jesus so that we could identify with him. We thank you. Oh, don't you feel his presence, people? Right now, God is just, he's given you the strength you need to be victorious in that area of your life. Don't neglect it. Don't leave it. Leave it. Don't deny it. Just use it. Father, thank you. We worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord praise. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You still love me?
Yes.
I told you more than I would tell anybody. But you know why I said that? Because we're all in this together and we all need God. Amen. We all need God. I need God. And I thank God. And I thank God for you. Amen. We love you guys. Terry, thanks a lot for taking preaching. Thank you. Thank you so much. And everybody else for stepping in so that I could just relax for a few days and let my hair down. Yeah. Amen. Amen. No, I mean in a good way. And in a good way. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day. Amen.